I didn't even look at the lighting. I know the everything is good except that. Well, it's fine. It's whatever. It's whatever. It's not the best we can do. We need another ring light for this corner. Shine right behind here. Or maybe even one backlight that we can throw here. All the way top.
That's a lot of scavenging. I mean,
we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll have the accountants deal with that. You know? Okay. We'll use the company credit card. They can handle the rest, you know?
Okay. $60 for the extra, mind you.
Yeah, nah. Just keep adding zeros to that C. Six, you know? It's like six, zero, then zero more, and more zeros, and shit. What are we talking about tonight? Right, Last of Us.
Pedro Pascal.
Bella Ramsey.
Let's talk about that.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Not So Serious Channel. I'm your host, RJ Feliciano. With me, as always, is Luis Jimenez. And this podcast episode, we're talking about The Last of Us, the entirety of the show. We already did it we talked about episodical, like, in the after show, but we didn't talk about it in the last one. Like we said in the previous video, the latest videos we released, we were very busy that week, so we weren't able to record. And then we decided, you know what? Let's just have a podcast episode where we talk about the entire thing. But you've seen the title of the video. We're going to be focusing specifically on the adaptation aspect of it. Like, right. Is this the perfect adaptation? And I'm going to say it is damn near close to it. I think it honestly is the perfect adaptation. I have never seen anything so good. They really did a phenomenal job. And I guess we can also compare it, like talk about the advantages of knowing and respecting your source material. Mm-hmm. So that you can add and take away things that will benefit a much larger story. Because, yeah, anybody who's seen the show or played the video games, you know that these are two different things. Like, they're not very different, but they do change things. And it's very, very interesting what they did. And I'm honestly so stoked to talk about it. Like,
the entirety of 9 episodes, you would think... over the course of, I think it's like about 25 hours is the campaign.
I think so.
You're obviously trying to condense that into 45, 55-ish episodes.
Yeah.
Obviously not a lot of the events you're going to touch upon like a lot than in a game. Obviously in a game setting, you can really just expand it depending on how the player kind of progresses it. So to have a start of a story to give you the conflict, the internal conflict, the primary conflict, which is a virus that we thought it was like, we'll never see this. And I, for one, we were here in the first episode where we were gushing. He was gushing more about the scientific aspects.
They did a really good job, man. They really did the research.
And that's where I think Craig really looked at Chernobyl and said, like, yeah, I went through the documents on how Chernobyl really was, and I went to the analytical level. Let's actually...
Yeah, let's do the same thing for this show.
Let's make this believable. Like, honestly believable.
And it's a little bit too believable now because, you know, we are finding some things in elderly homes, so it's getting little scary.
Right.
But... You know, I remember when they said, like, oh, like, video game adaptations are finally good. But I agree with that. But also, like, we have had, like, good, like, video game adaptations. For example, like, Sonic the Hedgehog. I still haven't seen the second one. I really want to. But even just talking about the first one, that was a really good, like, adaptation from the video game. And here's where I kind of want to touch. I brought this, like, this idea because... When you look at Sonic the Hedgehog movie, it is nothing like the fucking video game. Because, again, you can't make a video game a movie. You can only adapt it into being a movie, right? Yeah. So with Sonic the Hedgehog, what do? You introduce us in the beginning, like, the actual, like, fantasy world. And it's not a video game. This is just where this guy lives. right? Yeah. And then he's teleported to our world. And there, he's just kind of hiding out because they're trying to, like, kill him or some shit like that. I don't even remember why. Yeah. All I know is that he gets teleported there, and he just has to stay there and keep a low profile. And it's super fun because you're like, okay, you just brought this character into our world. And then he's just, like, zooming and zooming, whatever. And then he becomes a hero because screw it. He has the power, so why not? Mm-hmm. And it made for a really fun adaptation. Why? Because what you do in this situation, like, I don't want to see him just running for through fields collecting. That's not a movie you want to watch about Sonic the Hedgehog. So what do you want to do? Okay, let's just take the one things that people like from this character. Fast as fuck.
Yeah.
Collects rings. And the little famous... That's all you need to make a good Sonic. That's all you need, right? Then they started adding things around it, and that's why it was such a success. Because they kind of kept that. Also, the villain is goofy as fuck.
Yeah.
Nailed it. That's just how it works. So we start getting a little bit more serious, right? Then we have The Last of Us, which is a much more serious story, but how do you take that into make it a video game? So, I mean, make it a in this case, not a movie, a TV show. So... We talked a lot about, okay, so what were the video game aspects that would not have worked in live action? The spores, that was never going to work. The constant, like, fighting the...
Infected?
The infected, but also the QZ. There you go. Hmm. Fighting the QZ and the infected, that could have worked, but it wouldn't have been believable because... It would have made them have plot armor too much, right? Because if they're constantly... If the danger is that high where you're constantly fighting infected, like, how are you even alive? And then you start going, like, it's just luck. It's chance. Plot armor. That becomes an issue. In a video game aspect, it makes sense because you're playing a video game. Like, you know that. Whenever you start up a game and you have a... You're playing as a protagonist, you know that person's not going to fucking die. Because unless, you know, you kind of do switcheroos and sort of games, but those make for, like, interesting plot twists, but usually it does not happen, like, right away. So you have to take that away from, you know, strip it away. You can't use that. Yeah. And then there was this other thing where I was like, it's interesting. So there's not a lot, in the video game, there's a lot of action, obviously, and brutality, because you're always fighting. You're either fighting the infected, fighting the QZ, and fireflies. You have three things. And those become, in a video game, those become obstacles. In a live-action TV show or whatever movie, it becomes a nuisance. It becomes annoying, repetitive. So they basically said, you know what? Fuck all of this. Like, fuck the video game aspect of the story, and let's take this story, and let's do that. And that is why I think it was so fucking good. Because the other franchises have failed. Here we go. Here's another example. Mortal Kombat. Every single Mortal Kombat movie. The originals are funny because, yes, I'll admit they're hilarious. But that doesn't mean they're good. Like, if we're talking about, like, seriously...
They're not cinematic masterpieces.
But, obviously. No, I mean, but they weren't good.
The premise isn't, like, Oscar-worthy, man.
No, obviously no. But okay. But here's the thing. Like, if you look at the actual Mortal Kombat story, there is lore that you can make a good movie out of it, right? Yeah. But... Where they have failed in the latest movie that they did, the only good parts about the movie is the beginning. They start the start when you have a Sub-Zero fighting the
Scorpion.
Yeah, well, pre-Scorpion because he wasn't Scorpion yet. That was the only good part, and then at the end. But then it just the way it happened was very dumb because our protagonist, he never fought his battles. In that movie, at least, Mortal Kombat. And the reason that movie, for me, it just sucked ass, was because they just said, you know what? What's Mortal Kombat about? Fighting. Just fight. And add cool things about the game that people like. You know, like fatality, flawless victory, the finisher moves that the characters have. Like, yeah, that's cool, but why is it happening? And that is where they missed.
There's a tournament going on, but I don't think they even emphasize like
this. Dude, that's the problem. They're not trained. It's such a dumb fucking movie because they just mention things, but they're not training for it. Nothing. It's very. If you rewatch that movie, nothing leads to anything.
nothing. They just keep making from point A to B, but we're not going to get there. We're going to go to B, but then we're going to mention it and not go there. C, it's like they just keep circling around. But why? Because they just want to keep adding fights, and they're not smart. The fights aren't smart. They're just there because Mortal Kombat is about fighting. Was like, it's yes, but there's more to that. There's actual lore you can use to spice up a storyline. So we mentioned two things. One that worked, one that didn't, and then The Last of Us, we're going to keep focusing on that, which is the whole point of this episode. They just focused on the story, because what everyone takes away from that game, it's not the clickers. It's not the QZ. The violence, yeah, they take away the violence. But they take away that question. Is Joel a good person? Was Joel right?
No.
Did he do the right thing?
That one, I don't know.
That one, exactly. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
That you don't know. And that's why the game has been so famous and has been one of the greatest fucking games out there story-wise, because it has a really good story.
It questions your morality, and I think that's
exactly.
I think it capitalizes on this show, because the question of morality has to happen against a primary character, which mm-hmm. is Joel. On a video game, you're obviously going to make your different choices and
yeah.
different cutscenes, obviously. So,
and in a video game, you're not as invested. You're playing a game. I'm not saying that video games like allude to violence, but you know, it's I know what it is, and if you give me a shotgun and I can shoot a guy who's in front of me, I'm gonna go for that option.
Of course, yeah.
It's a video game thing. It's not really.
So having to sympathize, and I'm throwing the quotation marks already, to sympathize with a character who lost everything, and you're kind of seeing in the first episode of how, like, you know, he wasn't always such a baddie. Like, look what happened to him. It's like, yeah, like.
Yeah, you're trying to. The story is trying to justify the character, and it works, but it also helps by. What I love the most is they talk about what an awful person Joel is,
oh, yeah.
but we never really know. We're stuck with. He lost his daughter, man.
Of course, yeah, dude.
Like, he lost. He just did things to survive. And they keep showing us this tame version of Joel throughout the series until the last two episodes.
Yeah,
because in the eighth, right? It was nine episodes, right?
See,
in the eighth episode, when he's trying to find out where they took Ellie, he starts unleashing that, like, pure survival.
No,
I don't give
a. Just like, where
no,
is she?
Exactly.
Where's my daughter? Where's my adoptive daughter?
Yeah, and you see, like, to the lengths that he would go to, right?
Mm.
He does not care, and then that gives you like a little like, it kind of breaks your perception of him. You're like, oh, man, he's a badass. Then episode 9 comes around, and you're like, oh, he's on hinge. And I love the discourse on the internet. People are like, what you do, HBO? You like. Wrong move, like, or you fucked up. Like, yeah, that's the point. He's not a good person.
Newsflash.
Newsflash.
He wasn't a good person after all. Oh my God.
What? But yeah, so it's.
You would think they would get it once he killed the doctor, right?
Yeah. No, it's you know what? It's funny how people like complain. The line was drawn for them. What was crossed when he lied to Ellie. Not when he shot the doctor. It was when he lied to Ellie. Everyone was like, he lied. He literally killed an entire hospital worth of people.
He only had an AR with him. I think like two magazines.
Yup. And a knife.
And a knife.
And he went to town.
And he one-shot out a lot. With just that, a one-man army.
Yeah, he was just angry.
I think when we were watching it, you guys were saying, "Come away!" Oh, they're moving him into a different. They're moving him lower in the hospital floor than in the game. It's like, oh, it's gonna be even more like tough for him to go there.
Yeah,
and I still got like I don't know. Even with that handicap, he still floored
yeah.
an entire army
yeah.
of fireflies.
He didn't give a shit.
With their different like. Positions and shit, he didn't give a fuck. He found out where to go, where is
yeah.
and all that. And in the scene of badassery, right? Because as an action junkie, you're like, God,
fuck
this
yeah.
Shit, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
bro.
It's like, you get it, Joel. Get it.
But with story-wise, you're seeing a humanity dwindling down and the lengths, like you said, the lengths that this man will go for a kid.
Yeah, for someone who's like, it's like...
For oh. cargo.
Except for cargo, sure. But I want to add one thing, which was very interesting. I saw it, I think I saw it on Twitter or TikTok, I don't remember, where the Fireflies lied to Joel.
Mm.
Like, the reason that she was a cure, it was because the Cordyceps recognized her as one of
as
them.
Same,
yeah,
same.
But it wasn't that wasn't really true, because they don't attack you if they recognize you as your own. And they were constantly trying to attack Ellie. So even if they tried to make a cure, it was never going to work.
Yeah.
It wasn't a cure, like an actual, it was never going to work out, period. Because Tess did get bit, right? And she was infected. And what did the Cordyceps do? They went for that kiss, whatever. It wasn't a kiss. They were sharing tendrils. It was like, again, they recognized them as one of their own. So they were just like, okay, then, you know, buddy, what you doing? But with Ellie, they were constantly trying to attack her. So they never recognized her as one of theirs. So her cure was just like, you could have never like passed it. We weren't going to be able to pass it on.
Like the immunity wasn't really.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't a cure.
Exactly.
Oh, like, you didn't get at the turn. You must be immune. You are the cure.
Yeah. No, but it was just that little detail where it's like, oh, the Cordyceps see her as one of their own, so they won't attack. That's not true. That's not how her body can like disperse like the infection, like it's not gonna keep going. But it was a very interesting thing. I was very like, thank you for the person who did it. Really cool. But yeah. So let's. I kind of want to move into like the things that. So that was us kind of talking about the last episode that we really didn't get a chance to talk about. It was a good episode. Those last two were fucking amazing.
The last 10 minutes were
just so good. And also like him lying to her and like she knew obviously. But it was a nice it was a nice way to end it. It was like, well, that's actually how it ends in a video game as well. It's like, oh, tell me the truth. I was like, yes. And then you just end it. It was like, oh, shit. It's like,
and the okay, I'm going to live this life.
Yeah,
you're
I'm going to live. Yeah.
I know you're full of bullshit.
Yeah,
but knowing
that me making myself believe that you told me the truth, like they're both lying to each other, but they're going to accept that lie and just... move on.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna ride that line. I loved it. So let's focus on the things that they added and that they took out. I'm gonna focus more on what they added because I honestly don't remember what they took out. Apart from the one thing that they did take out, which I loved, was the spores. But apparently they're gonna implement that in the second season. I'm not sure. I can see them doing that. Like if they do it that way, I guess it could make sense. I am not sure. But the issue with spores is. Scientifically speaking, science OJ is back. So when you have something like of this magnitude, like so fungi and the way they work in nature, they do like made through spores, right?
Same.
And they're constantly in the air. Flowers do the same thing. That's why you know, oh, it's pollen season. That's why, right? Yeah. So that's because again, those are spores that are traveling in the air. So fungi do that. That's how typically most of them. That's how they work. They have. It's actually pretty funny. They kind of shoot a little stem. It's like a little ball. And then with the wind, shakes them, spores starts flying away. It's pretty interesting. If you do that in the game, in the game, it makes sense because it's like, oh, it's an obstacle that you have to put your mask on or you have to find a way around these. That's obstacles. Air isn't contained. You can't contain air. You can't contain spores. That's not how it works. If spores were to break out in this room, it would need to be completely sealed for it to never leave. In a world like this, that would be impossible. Again, everything went to shit. There's a lot of fucking infected. That would have been spread. Everyone would have been infected. No one on Earth would have survived that. There's just no fucking way. So what they did with that Creator Liberty, it was like the tendrils on the ground. That was fucking clever.
That was really good.
That was so good that they added that. Explained as like you step on this and the whole hive knows where you are. I'm like, that is so fucking clever because in a way that's how it works. It's like a hive mind, right? And that's how they communicate. Very, very clever. I honestly fucking loved it. So that was one of the things that they added.
More of a tension of, you know, you need to keep on your toes, especially when you're around the fungi.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like you can just look at it and like, oh man, like he got infected. Like no, like if you really touch it, they're connected to
yeah
someone close or yeah. nearby.
And they will just like start waking up. That, yeah. yeah, I so good. It's so good. So that, what else did they change? What did they add? So they added the, so a couple of things that they did add I really enjoyed. They obviously added the whole, like it's a DLC, like the whole Ellie and.
Oh, the Left Behind?
Left Behind. So yeah, Ellie and I forgot the girl's
Riley.
Name. Riley. Yeah, Ellie and Riley. Adding the DLC as part of the whole like story, it's works so well, very well written. Obviously, Bill and Frank giving us that backstory. That was beautiful.
That one was
so good.
That was wild because for leading up to this episode, like, oh man, we're gonna get fucking bitch. And what we got was 50 minutes of a love story.
Yeah.
That in your mind, you're like,
pero qué pasó?
We were running towards towards him because we need help from him.
Yeah, he's gonna help us, right?
Why is he eating a strawberry? Dude, wake up. Infected.
Joel is coming for a car battery. He needs your help.
He needs your help. And
It was such a nice story.
It's an honest to God good addition that many dumbasses will like dismiss it as like it wasn't necessary.
It was absolutely necessary, and I'm gonna tell you why right now.
But it's very necessary.
It's absolutely necessary. The title of the show is The Last of Us, right?
Of course.
And you get different aspects of that, right? So you can say that this is the last moment we might be together. For example, you have Tess and Joel, they have a relationship, but you know, it's kinda like you can tell they're serious, but they also don't mind doing things on their own and whatnot. So when he loses Tess, it's like, fuck. And you start getting small moments with people. Ellie and Riley, same thing. They were the last kind of youth, and they had those last moments together, and it was beautiful, but then it was very quickly taken away. Bill and Frank represent a bigger... So the story isn't necessarily just about Joel and Ellie. Yeah. This is a story about this world, and... Bill and Frank are a perfect representation of even the people who are most prepared will perish, right? It's also letting you know, like, there is no hope in a world like this. It is the last, and what you have is literally just us. That is the last thing that will keep you sane. That is the last thing that will keep you happy, that will fulfill your life. It's just the people who you love and who you share it with. Mm-hmm. Bill and Frank is that. It tells you the entire story what we're going to see, even with Joel and Ellie, and coming into the second season as well. Like, what you have is what you should focus on. What's out there, it really does not matter.
And even the show kind of, I don't know if you like, I just thought about this and it makes more sense. The show is called The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Most of the cast, or most of the characters, are grouped.
Yeah, they're grouped, exactly. Because that is what you have left in this world to, like, just live. And Bill and Frank do it in the most beautiful way. Bill is all like, oh, screw it. You know, we just survive. And then you have Frank where he's like, you got to paint the house, man.
Extreme libertarian. Yeah. Fuck the government. And Frank is like, Are you okay?
It's like, so if I can paint this house, you'll make me the happiest man alive. And then you're like, Bobby, check it out. I got strawberries. What? It was honestly a beautiful episode. Apart from, like, obviously adding, you know, like, LGBT representation, which was already there, by the way. It was never forced. Everything, every relationship in this show, same thing as the video games. Just wait for season two,
it's
honestly.
Real, people.
It's real.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocker number two.
Shocker number two, exactly. So, but it was beautiful because it gives you this kind of, like, sense of hope. And that's literally what they're doing is... one of the ends that you can have. So you can have two types of ends. You can die like, you can end like Tess, fighting for some chance of survival, or you can die like Bill and Frank, who died happily, not expecting anything from anyone or the world, just living their best lives with the person they love. Joel is
the third one. Ellie and Riley.
There you go.
Because again, like the innocence of youth, and I think like yeah. them coming up, losing your best friend. In a matter in which, obviously, they don't know the answers to, but they know the only thing, you're going to turn. And, you know, Ellie taking that shot, and she mentions it at
yeah,
the
that
end.
She was, yeah.
And then finding out, which is, I think, what's a living hell for her, is that she thought that by putting Riley out of misery, then I'm going to turn and I'm just going to like live my life. And it's just, and
she never turns. So that's
still,
that takes
she's
a
still her.
Yeah,
and she has to live with that.
Mm-hmm. Constantly. So that's also a weighing thing. So you do. Yeah, you're right. You do have these three.
Oh, and then you
aspects.
Even have the possibility of like, what if she also was not infected? Like, what if she?
Yeah, you can also think that, right? You can also be like, shit, what if that could? It was. Oh man. Although we don't really know like at what stage did she take the shot? Right. But man, oh man, that was.
You're taking a lot of believable. You're taking believable circumstances. Or realistic circumstances that any one of us would be thinking to yourself and actually agree or disagree with certain things that this show showed us. With Joel, are people willing to do that? Someone will say yes, someone will say no. Every decision that this show has shown us has consequences. Every little detail will have its consequences.
Yep.
And Joel, for the sake of him being a father first, because at first it was just survival.
Yeah,
just
selfish.
Right?
Very selfish, yeah.
Now, he's being a father.
It's interesting because he's been selfish the entire time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Volvemos, she was precious cargo. She was a means to an end.
Yeah.
That at the end... Is
became still another means to an end. My happiness. And
my sense of stability. I think like even in the... going back to the last episodes, I feel like the last episode honestly really exemplified great story adaptation in a video game. Because again, adapting video games one-to-one...
It's impossible. We already discussed that at the beginning. It's going to be boring. Trust me, you don't want to see this man... killing infected and QZ and fireflies every single episode because it's going to be boring. It's repetitive. When it comes to a game, that's what gets you. Like when you play any game, you have a storyline. You're not playing the storyline. You're playing points A. You're going to go from point A to point B. What's happening in between? That's what you're playing. Those are your obstacles and your puzzle that you're solving just to get the next piece of the story. In a TV show, you have that, but what you have in between are just, instead of having like puzzles and all these things, you have more information to enrich each character. And it is done beautifully. It is done super well. It's just so well. Like, for example, adding the Joel's backstory with him wanting to kill himself. Sorry, YouTube. Unalive himself.
Unalive. Right.
That was never in the game. Another thing that they changed, and it's at so, it grounds you in that moment when he's with Ellie, and they're talking about that, and then he lets her know, como que, oh, like, time heals all wounds. No, that's not the lesson I'm trying to teach you. Time does not heal all wounds. That wasn't time. It was you. People heal you. It's not time. Time will never heal any wound, and that is true. It is people,
the
connection.
The humanity that Ellie has shown Joel, even in the midst of the entire, like all the dangers that they face, give him a purpose, even outside of like, damn, like I don't know if this is.
Yeah, like, purpose outside of I don't want to die tomorrow. You know, it's like, so it's either kill him or I die. And now it's like, nah, I have someone to look after. I need to look after this person.
And Joel being more open and. We even discussed this in a previous after show that the parallels that you see in the juxtaposition of both characters around the sixth episode, Mahomeno, where, I think it was the sixth, when Ellie is rubbing off on Joel is rubbing off on Ellie in terms of,
yeah,
like, Ellie was trying to be more like optimistic about certain things, right? And even when he was trying to save Sam, like, oh, like, I'm going to try and help you, right? So when that didn't go as planned,
mm-hmm.
then I'm just going to be muted. No emotion. It's fine. Oh, something happened. Something bad happened. Okay.
Yep.
No, life goes.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel seeing, I don't say a father figure, but seeing the eyes of a child going through all that, what do you do? Other than just like, well, hang in there, kid.
Hang in there, kid. Exactly.
You kind of have to keep moving forward, but knowing that you don't have the answers of anything. You're really just, you're both on your own, and you're gonna have to figure you guys out together.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's the last of us in the show. So again, we're like around 30 minutes in, and we already gave you an already answer to the question: is this a perfect adaptation?
It really is, because it's just, again, it focuses. It's just the story was perfect from the beginning, right? There's no way to fuck up that story. Well, there are ways, but there are ways, but they never really get to that point because they're not focused on. That's the thing. They're not focusing on adding things to make the story more interesting. They're just adding things to enrich the characters that are already in the story. So you have backstory for obviously Bill and Frank. You have backstory, a little bit of backstory for Tess and Joel. You have a lot of backstory for Joel. And then you have backstory for his brother that we never got. You get backstory for Sam and Henry. Like, and even if it's just a little bit, it makes you go like, damn, that's another change. Making Sam, it's Sam, right? The little kid?
Sam.
I think it was, yeah, the young kid. Making him, like, you know, mute. Like, he can't talk. It enriches the story. You're like, oh, why is it happening? Well, it kind of makes you, it's just so beautiful, man. It's such a good show. Everything that they add. So having that kid there makes the connection between him and his brother my impactful. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, everybody's like in a little group. Every single one of those people are like questionable characters. There's not a single character who isn't questionable in this show. Even Bill and Frank. You literally have Bill who decides to have a whole town for himself. It is self-sufficient. He grows his own food. He has access to water, to power. He has booby-trapped the entire thing. Like, he literally has Bill's town. Mm-hmm. And he chooses to do it for himself. And then Frank just chooses to live with him and accept the fact that they're never going to take anyone in. He kind of forces Bill a little bit with Tess and Joel, but that's it, you know? And then they end, you know, peacefully. You have the Fireflies. They're kind of sketchy with the fact that, you know, they're willing to kill a kid. And again, it's the same. It's, you know, it's, I forgot the name of it, but it's like the train project thing. You know, if you leave the train going this route, it'll kill four people. But if you put it this way, it's one person. Oh, what's the difference? I don't know. That one person is a child. It's like, who are you? What are you? You know, it's a.
And both sides are shitty,
still shitty acts. Yeah, you're just choosing a lesser of two evils. It's kind of like voting nowadays, but you know. But it's very interesting. Who else do we have? Shit, had a whole list and it just kind of flew by me. God damn it. Oh, there you go. You have you know, Sam and Henry, where Henry became a snitch. That's not the word, but yeah. He works for the government to feed them information, the QZ. And, you know, he's a snitch, so he gets benefits. But why is he doing it? Because of his brother. His brother had leukemia, and he did it just to protect him. Dick move.
Yeah.
But he had a reason to do it. That in and of itself gave us a new character who no one likes her. I'm sorry. She is evil, period. She's not gray. She's fully bad. I don't give a damn. What was her name?
I don't know. Fuck you.
Fuck you. No silbes.
She generally said, you know what?
Fuck them kids. I honestly...
I wanted my brother, like...
Yeah, my brother should have been alive. Like, look, he was just a kid. I just love her reasoning. Here's the thing, buddy. Maybe your brother had to die of leukemia so my brother could live. Did you ever think about that? I'm like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong?
And I saw some racial undertones on that answer. I'm just going to say it.
We're not pushing anything out there, but hey, I'm just saying it kind of seemed that way.
I'm jamming it and telling you.
He is. I'm not going to do that.
This was really saying, yo, all lives matter, bitch, okay? Nah, man.
All lives matter, and then her partner, The one with a full beard. He's all like, "Blue Lives Matter,
Blue
man.
Blue Lives Matter." See, you had it. You had all of the matters. All of the matters matter.
Oh, God, I love it. It's so true. So you have that. Let's keep jumping in. You have Tommy with the communist girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. We share and we have a sustainable...
I just love how Joel throws that joke. So you're a communist now? And Tommy's like, no, not like that. And then Tommy's like, wife. I'm going to call her wife. Like, that's exactly what we are. We're a commune.
We're a commune.
And then Tommy's face is just like, look, man, I didn't sign up for this. I did not know that the lady who I was...
Tommy, it's okay. It's okay, fellow citizen.
It's like, I didn't know that these were the rules.
Uh-huh.
I would like to state for the record that I had no idea that my wife was a Nazi.
Communist.
I don't approve of these.
Don't approve of this, please.
If I want that pig, that don't mean that my neighbor can get that pig. Just saying. That's pretty much what Tommy said. Through and through.
See, so,
I'm going to be honest. That was hilarious. But it's funny because I love how it kind of proves the fact that, like, you know what? Maybe communism isn't that bad. It's actually, that's for another time. It's about leaders, not about government, but whatever. That proves it right there, you know. So you have two people who are like, Tommy decided to abandon his brother. He did some fucked up shit, but he tried to redeem himself by running away and having a city with his girlfriend, and then they fell in love, and now they're going to have a family. I feel like he's the least gray character, but he does have a past, and he's running away from that past. So that's where you can kind of go like, I don't know, buddy. You're trying to like it. And then him and Joel have a nice heart-to-heart, like, we did those things. I'm like, yeah, man. And they were fucking awful. You can't run away from that, though. Own it, right? Joel owns it. Tommy doesn't. He kind of wants to, like, forget about it.
But yeah, he just runs away.
Yeah, he runs away. He runs away from his problems. I'm like, don't do that, man. Just own it.
You were a piece of shit. You can accept that.
Exactly.
And still trying to be less shit.
Right,
with, you know, starting a family. Yeah. And that's where the dynamic, I think, when Tommy and Joel kind of talked to each other. It's like, I got a kid now that I need to save. Your kid, I don't know what this deal is.
I just love how Joel was like, you want your son to be alive? You got to protect this kid right
this
here.
Because
if this kid does not, you know, do the deed, I can't give it to point B, that baby going to die. Just like, damn, Joel, that was kind of fucked up. And then Tommy's like, I bet. Oh, man. I fucking love this show. What else do they add to other characters? Oh, here we go. I'll talk about it. The cult.
Ooh.
Look, the fact...
What the exactly.
I was not talking... That's what we found. Guilty.
Ooh.
Dun-dun. So...
That really made me very...
That was very... No, that was awful. So this is where you start seeing, like... Yeah, people are bad,
right?
They're fucked up. And nothing will get the hairs in my back crawling more than the fact that...
Oh, shit.
This man found Jesus Christ in the apocalypse, and then he said, follow me, people. I am now your father. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Also, we're hungry, so
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but he's feeding people...
Last to get to this place, you're gonna die, and we're gonna eat you. So
yeah, here's the thing, though. Like, oh, fuck, I hate this. When you think about it, right, in a survival situation, right, and this has happened, in vida real. Some people have resorted to, like, you know, cannibalism to survive, and it's kind of like that line where you're like, man, where do we cross it? Mm. And some people have come back to, you know, civilization by doing that. Mm. And it's not something that anyone takes lightly, but this man kind of just went, hey, if they don't know, they don't know. But it's kind of fucked, because then, like, the way that they presented it in this episode was, like, you know, they recently lost a member, and, like, that daughter and the wife of the man who has already died kind of knew, kind of suspected it. So they were like, can we just bury him? Can we please bury him? He's like, it's too cold.
It's too cold. Ah.
We're gonna have to wait until
like where do We have to, you know, make a shelf.
It's
to, like
el piso está congelado, mami. You're going to have to dig that with a pickaxe because it's frozen. Like, we'll wait. We'll wait. Yeah, yeah.
What if we warm it up here?
Here, exactly. We're going to keep them nice and warm.
On this oven.
In this pot. I also love when they come in, say, with meat. It's like, what is that? Venison? Yeah, from who? From Benny? From Ben? Who died like 30 minutes ago, dude? What is wrong with you? So if that isn't enough, this man, oh, God, I just hate the fact that he used to be like this before.
Say it.
And the thought of that just kind of fucks me up. Like,
this is cool. He was a school teacher.
I didn't. Yes, he was. No. Oh, I hated it. I hated it. Fuck. I hated the scene. But it's also a fantastic scene. I'm not going to lie. That was very well acted, very well directed. Really, really good. Props to the actor. These are not easy things to film.
No.
Actually. Like, they are not, dude. They take, oh, my God. And then imagine having to do multiple takes for this.
You know, kind of getting that character for
that
scene. Yeah, you know,
it's like, not easy, dude. And trust me, these things take multiple takes to get right, and it is not. Wow. Fuck. That was one of the things that they did not change from the game.
The vulnerability of Ellie right there, right then and there.
Yeah.
It was palpable. And I think also this episode shows us how resilient she is.
Yeah.
Through and through.
To keep going. It's like, fuck.
And if we're going to, like, I guess, like, link up to part two, season two, that's where it starts. I think that episode signifies that even without Joel, she needs Joel, whatever, like, no matter what. But it's conquering, right? This demon, which it really is.
Yeah.
Shows how she's willing to kill whoever gets in her way, no matter any occupation, sex, gender. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you are trying to harm me, I'm going to defend
myself. So, yeah, that's definitely the trigger for her, like, again, despite the whole fact where, you know, she was about to, you know, she defended herself, obviously, but then she kept going with, like, because, right, normally in these situations, right, and I'm not going to talk about this in, like, in a real life aspect, because I don't know, these things are awful, they shouldn't fucking happen. But in like, media aspect, when they portray it, usually it's like, oh, that's going to happen. They kind of, like, swing, like, harm and run away. Ellie kept going, right? And it's kind of like how you say, like, oh, no, like, she, all of her anger and desperation or her fear just unleashed. And that's going to, like, maybe trigger into season two, where it's like, if people get in my way, I'm not afraid to unleash that. And that's also being taught as well, thanks to Joel. Like, Joel did some fucked up things to get here, and to Ellie, that's okay. He did fucked up things to keep her alive, and that's okay. Mm. She has also now done fucked up things for her to stay alive, right? The argument could be made, yeah, she could have easily just harm him, leave him in a burning building. Mm. Didn't want that, bro. She, like, no, you need to be done. Erased. And for those who know how the second game goes, this is very prevalent for her. This is a behavior that will not change. That was the spark of who Ellie is for, like, the remainder of the series, the remainder of, like, the second game. That is who she becomes. She is someone who is not okay. Like, if someone does something bad to her, she's not gonna hurt them to prove a point. She is going to eliminate the problem. That's her mindset from now on. And this will be, and here's where the problem comes. And where I'm going to bring back the Bill and Frank idea that I brought up. What are you willing to do and risk for the one thing that is making you happy, right? I'm not going to go into spoilers in case there's people here who have never played the games. But Ellie makes very questionable decisions in the second game, and she kind of abandons that idea of, like, what is it that you love? and she gets presented with a lot of emotions, and she kind of chooses one that is not the right option, but it's the only option she knows. And that is why I personally really enjoy the second game. Like, I understand people have issues with it due to the story and whatnot. I myself, like, the ending, I find it super frustrating. But whenever I think about changing it, it doesn't work. And I have had long conversations with friends about this. It's like, oh, if you could have done this different, then they're like, stop thinking. Like, because it never would have ended right. The ending of the second game is the ending you get. It's perfect. That's how it goes. Same thing with the first game. There's no other way around it, right? No one could have survived. There was no way of, like, maybe making a cure and maybe it happening again.
Or him not even having the doctor some shit. And
there's just something nothing else. Exactly. Entirely. If he leaves anyone alive, they're just going to come looking for them. Like, there's no way out. It's that. And it's this horrific idea where you're like, man, I don't agree with him. But if you look at it, like, lay it down on paper, nothing good will happen if he leaves anyone alive. He kept the doctor alive. The doctor would have known that it didn't happen. He's gonna round people up to go for him. Like, that's just, and Joe knows this. And then you can also make the argument, but how does he know? Same thing as, like, oh, how do you know Ellie wasn't gonna make it? An operation of that magnitude in a setting like this is very hard.
Yeah. You have two nurses, one doctor. You don't know what exactly you're extracting or doing.
Yeah, you don't know how you're going to make a cure for this. Like, it's very experimental, and you're willing to risk the life of the one child who does have a cure for that? Are you really going to do that? And, like, there's people saying, I remember, like, oh, what if Joel would have been okay with it, and then you follow up with Joel in a different story? That's... The story isn't Joel. The story is Joel and Ellie.
Yeah.
That's what they make the story about. There, you couldn't... Ending the game like that, like, oh, Ellie dies and Joel has to live with it, nah, this is not going to work. It does not work.
There's a lot of factors that even if you, like, go into different branches, it just would not have worked.
Because yeah.
The story, as it is the story.
Yeah.
You cannot... Yeah. Add or subtract anything, because mm-hmm. that is
like
where that's where all the events lead up to this.
Yeah. The only way you can change the outcome of the story is by not having them meet in the first place. Is by deleting everything you know about these two characters and never having them meet. That is the only way. Same thing with the second game. The only way for all of that thing to happen is to literally erase Joel's backstory since the fucking beginning. Well, technically, in this case, it's towards the end, but how do you fix that by not having this? It is literally cause and effect. Our actions have consequences, and this is what this game represents in the story. I am stoked for season 2. I cannot wait. And they already showed a poster. It's not like it's a fan. I think it was a fan-made.
Neil kind of like...
But Neil, because he shared it, and I was like, I don't know if it's an... I doubt it's an official poster. No. But it's a good poster.
This character that is going to be either beloved or hated.
It will be. It's obviously going to be hated. I'm telling you guys right now. Yeah. Unless they give us this character since the beginning of season 2, instead of like in the game where you kind of like start with the characters we know and then you move on. I feel like if you switch those around.
That is the question that Craig and Neil are
going to... They should probably be pondering right now. Because
they kept saying that the story of this of that magnitude can be split up into 2 seasons. So adding more stuff, explaining more details that the game didn't show us. I, for one, there's a lot of backstory that I did not get when the game just threw me into this scenario. So I'm no spoilers, obviously. So I would want to add more context to certain characters in this story.
Yeah.
To translate the entire game as season 2, a lot of cuts have to happen. A lot of scenarios have to be modified or changed. Ellie will be ruthless.
Oh, definitely.
I think that will be a focal point. I cannot wait when Bella comes back with a vengeance. fuck you if you need another recast. You do not.
No, they're not going to. They're not going to.
They are an amazing.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they said they weren't going to change. They weren't going to change them. So I'm glad that they're going to stick with them, because great actor. Like, just, they are amazing.
Give them
a
year, because I don't know how long it'll take.
Probably
going to
take.
I don't know. I think.
Yeah.
You'll see it. I already know.
You can. I mean, there are ways to make a character look older and younger. Like in her case, makeup obviously does a lot of work for that, but also the way posture, what they wear, and like their hair. Like you can easily maybe let the hair grow a little bit more. I know she's more of like having her hair in a bun, but that's the thing. As she was younger, she had a ponytail. When she gets older, I think she puts it in like a bun. You can kind of like go for that. There are many ways of doing this, but I am excited. It's gonna be a great show. So.
It'll be a lot of discourse.
I am excited for that. After show is going to be fucking fantastic.
There's going to be a lot of discourse, and I'm looking forward to it. Cause,
yeah.
I know someone. You might know him.
I know, I know him. I know him.
I would want him to be open about it. You know who you are. Frankie, you piece of shit. I think all in all, again, answering the question, is this a perfect adaptation?
Yes. How do we make a perfect adaptation? Start writing, motherfuckers. Here's how you do it. You're going to take the good aspects of said character, you're going to keep those, and you're going to put them in a different element from the game. That's how you make a perfect adaptation. That's it. You need to do anything else. If the story is good, keep that story and take away how you get from point A. No. Yeah, keep the story and just take away the obstacles and puzzles and add character development. That's how you make a perfect adaptation. That's it. Because things that were the same were one of my favorite scenes, which is when Ellie talks to Joel about Sarah. That is one of my favorite scenes in the game. They cut a little bit of dialogue, just a little bit, but they keep what's important. You know? They keep that part where he's like, oh, I'm not her, you know? It's like, you know, like then he's like, Ellie, that's enough. Like, it's like, oh, you're right. You're not my daughter. And I'm sure as hell ain't your dad. It's like, oh, that's an impactful thing. They keep that. Another thing that they keep is the full scene where he's asking for where Ellie is in the 8th episode. It's like, you know, point to this map and the stabbing of the knee. Like, that is literally how that works. That it goes one-on-one.
Yeah.
Joel losing Sarah. Another right there. It's perfect. One-on-one perfection. So you keep those things that are crucial to the story. If you're using, for example, an animated video game character or whatever, you take like their tropes in a way, but you don't overuse them. And that is how you make a perfect adaptation. The Last of Us right now is by far the best adaptation we have ever gone from a video game to a TV show or a movie or any adaptation whatsoever. This is literally perfection.
It set the bar high. Now.
Very high. I can definitely look. It can definitely win a lot. It's there for a lot of Emmys, dude. It can get so much. Yeah. I can definitely see Bella like earning an Emmy. I can definitely see it. Like Pedro. Look, I'll be honest. Pedro did a great job. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like acting wise, Bella took that. Like her, so most of the moments that were so impactful were because of her acting, right? When Henry kills himself, that little like gasp of like air, and obviously giving us that like point of view, and then just like that little breath, like God, fuck me up every single time. Another one is when she shouts at Joel, like everyone I've ever known has left me or dead. Everyone, fucking except for you. She has a little voice crack. In that's what gets me every single time. In the game, there's not, it isn't like that. It's just, it's a normal line. You can see the emotion, but here, Bella does it in such a way where she gives cracks of like about to, you said she's about to cry in that scene.
Because it's again, another person is going to leave me.
Voice just changes. She's going strong, but she can't. She's trying to be bigger than him, and she just falls mid-sentence.
Even when he's trying to like, at least like, I'm a feel this hurt because this is what I'm feeling. But again,
yeah, because she falls flat because she goes like, everyone, like, she's being strong. Everyone fucking, and when she says accept, her voice just drops down. It's like, I'm angry, but I'm just more sad than disappointed than angry. And then the other one is in the eighth episode when she leaves the bar and Joel gets her and she's fucking desperate and she's scared. She thinks it's like, man, and she looks at his eyes and she immediately goes from the high to a low and then just she gives up to him. Bella is an amazing actor. I can't wait to see to see them do more work, and they definitely deserve that Emmy. They really do. I would definitely give it to them, like, as a nomination for, like, the show.
Si.
The show will gain a lot more stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Music. I don't know what Emmys they do give for Emmys, but I'm gonna go music. Costume design, visual effects.
Costume design should win.
Definitely.
In my honest opinion, definitely. Costume design should
win. Dude, fucking clickers. The bloat, like, the brute. I forgot the name.
Bloater.
The bloater. He looked amazing. He looks so good, and he rips someone's head off like in the game. You see, that's what you add. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You don't focus on it. You keep it in the background for us to go. Hey. That's what you do. It's such a good show, man. If you haven't seen The Last of Us, by the way, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Thank you for staying this long. Go watch the freaking show. It is so good. And if this is your first time, like, watching, like, if you already saw The Last of Us, but you never played the game. I'm sorry, because we knew what we were watching. We knew everything was going to happen, and we still got, like, shocked. So you must be, wow. I have a friend, actually, who's watching. She hasn't seen the last episode yet. Mm. She was watching the whole, like, the other day. She started, like, last week. She hadn't seen a single episode. She has no idea what it's about. And she was loving it, but the eighth episode was a little bit strong for her. So she's like, I'm waiting for the ninth for a while. And I'm like, oh,
You're gonna have another extra month
for you to, like, calm down, because this is intense. God, all around phenomenal show. Give it all the Emmys. Great adaptation. Yeah.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over. It's done. Can't wait for season two. I can definitely see them having a season two and three. It has enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enough material for, like, two seasons, unless you make more episodes, but I don't know how they're gonna choose to do that.
I feel like
this show
character-wise, either split it or have. I mean, I feel like longer episodes would kind of, like.
No, I wouldn't
give less of.
I wouldn't give longer episodes. I would just give more episodes, right? So keep it on the, like, 45 to an hour max, and just instead of, like, nine, maybe go for, like, 12. I feel like that would work. And you split that, like, 12 and then 12 for the third season as well. I feel like that's good enough. Again, because there's a lot on, like, the second game has a lot.
Just with the new character alone.
Yes, there's a lot. And not just the new character. Where that character comes from. That's it. That is the important part. Like, where does this character, like, come from?
Because the game has a dual type of character game aspect.
Yeah.
That... if they put their minds more into it and kind of, like, give us more flesh of the that character, I don't want to name drop her because you guys to, like, be surprised.
Yeah.
I feel like more backstory would make the character.
Here's what I want. I want the discourse to be divisive between these two characters, and you can only achieve that with really well written backstory. And character growth for both.
Because we got Ellie.
We already know Ellie.
We know Ellie.
We got to know a little bit more because, you know, she's just...
Claro.
If they make her like they do in the second game, you guys are going to be missing information. So we're going to need a little extra. But no, but definitely, if they give this new, like, character a really good backstory and, like, good character growth, like, make me care. Make me justify her actions. That is when I know that they have done an amazing job writing this new season. And I can't wait. And I just want to see the discourse. I love chaos. I want Twitter. I want my Twitter to blow up with, like, this is why 25 reasons why Joel was right or wrong. A thread.
I really can't wait for the YouTube discourse. Oh boy, that's those contemplators are gonna be like fuming at the mouth.
Can't wait. So, guys, if you've been with like us this entire time, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Make sure you know to subscribe and hit that bell notification so you know when we release new videos in this channel. You know, we do this, we do podcasts, and we also do episodical after shows, which is more focused on TV. Hopefully, also, I don't know when this is going to release, but we should be talking about John Wick soon, so expect a little review on that. If it happens before this video is released, then you're welcome. You already saw that.
You saw it.
Don't ask about Shazam. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon. Expect other great things. But anyways, thank you guys so much for watching. And as always, see you in the next one. Good day.